Hi, my name is Kate McKenzie and welcome to my show. And today I'm sharing with you an interview I did with Susan Jeffers many, many, many years ago. I was greatly honoured to do this interview because I was a fan of Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And then I read some of her other books as well and I was a total fan. She made spiritual concepts easy and accessible. In fact, every sentence, every page was packed with ideas, and just reading her books, I found life-changing. I think it's no surprise that she's been called the Queen of Self-Help. So in this interview, I chat to her about people letting themselves off the hook. You know, how do you manage things like childcare or making different choices in life? And did she know that she was going to do this? Which she certainly did not. And so that kind of gives hope, I think, to many of us who don't necessarily know where we're going, but we're following things one step at a time. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. I really did. And tune in. Thanks. So welcome, Susan.
So good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You could just keep talking. I just love everything you're saying.
Well, thank you, Susan. I have to say, reading your book, and I was just filled with love. I was just filled with love, and each day as I was reading it, I felt more and more loving to the world, and I feel my partner benefited from me reading that book, and I recommended a friend read it, and she had the same experience. As soon as she was reading it, she was just filled with love, being loving to people, choosing loving thoughts, and looking at the mirror, which is what you talk about in the book.
Yeah, pick up the mirror instead of the magnifying glass.
That is so beautiful. I don't know if you want to say something about that.
Sure. By the way, so much of this, as you know, is based on my own experiences. Mm. And for many years between my marriages, I was single and I dated and I dated and I dated. And after about 42 men, I said, you know, it can't be all them. Maybe something is wrong with the way I'm approaching all of this.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned the tool for myself to pick up the mirror instead of the magnifying glass. Not to blame another person, not to blame yourself, but just to say, what is going on with me that I react in such a way? And to me, that's so powerful. It's not about what people do or what happens in the world. It's how we react to it all. And we have a choice as how we react. And I'll tell you something, that tool totally changed my ability to love. It really did.
I think that tool is so fabulous. I mean, after reading about your tool, that particular tool, I made a conscious commitment to my partner to look at him positively.
Yeah.
Because just reading that made me realize that when I look at him negatively, it's so often because of my fear, what's going on in my life. And nothing to do with him. He's a sweetheart. So that tool was really superb. And I feel especially for women. I mean, obviously, probably for men too. But
oh, yes, for both sexes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know what also was so beautiful about your book? It was very empowering. This is for me, and I hope other people who read it would enjoy this too, in the sense of talking about women and where women are at in terms of having relationships which are on another level, because we're in a different place now where women work and have jobs and where men also are open to their feminine side. We're in a different time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you talk about that in your book.
Yeah, well, the purpose of relationship in a way has changed on many levels. But, you know, I think for the most part we get married or we live with somebody or we're in a relationship with somebody to share the journey, so to speak, you know, share all the events of our lives. And that's beautiful.
Thank you so much, Susan. Well, as you know, Susan, I've enjoyed your work for a long time, as I'm sure many, many people have. And I just wanted to ask you, did you know from very young, because obviously you've given so much to this field, so much to helping others, I wondered if you knew from very young that you did have something to offer or that you would perhaps be on a path to offering so much help to so many?
I absolutely did not know.
That's interesting.
In fact, I was brought up very traditionally many years ago where women were supposed to get married, have children, and live happily ever after. And I did that, and guess what? I wasn't very happy in that situation, and I knew then that there was something else I was meant to do. What that was, I don't know. And I went back to school, and, you know, my life evolved after that. But I think that you have to trust your intuitive sense. If you're not happy, this isn't a bad thing. It just says, you know, I got to change something in my life because it sure isn't working as it is. And that's what really pushed me to go back to school. And I had a wonderful job for 10 years in New York. And then ultimately, I became the author of the self-help books.
Do you know, it's so beautiful to talk about that beginning, Susan, about you were a mother and then you wanted something more. Because I wondered what you could say. Is there anything that you would be happy to talk about mothers and work? Because sometimes it seems, can women have it all? Can they work and have children? And how can that work for women?
Well, first of all, understand that we're in an age of transition. As I said, at one point, women were expected to stay home, and they were expected to stay home with the children and all of that. And everything is kind of changing. But I've seen some very, very hopeful signs. I've seen men getting more involved in the process so that women and men share more of the taking care of the children and the working, which I think is wonderful. I really, really do. So I think we all have to, as I did, is just trust what you're feeling. Some people love being home with the kids, you know. And others really don't. And by the way, that includes men. Some men love being home with the kids.
Yeah.
And so I think it's almost fun to watch how roles are changing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a very exciting time. It can be discouraging at times, but that's okay. You know, we have to, more than anything, not listen to what other people are telling us, but to trust that we know what's right for ourselves and to act upon that. And that's what's key.
Is it possible, do you think, for women, while they have little children, I know there might be times when women want to focus on the children, but while they have little children, to create work which feels right and in harmony with having children? Because sometimes, I know for some people, they don't feel there's an option. They have to go straight back to work. But if people were thinking about the best situation, they may want enough time with their children and the right time with their work. Do you think there's ways of people actually working with their partner, their husband, or integrating their life?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Times are changing, and I think that men are getting much more involved, which is a wonderful thing. Because I know, I mean, I'm remarried now, but in my first marriage where I did have my children, he was a very loving father, and he's, you know, his contribution to our experience of life was wonderful. And this is happening more and more. And I think it's a time where it's confusing in the sense that we want it all. We want it all, which means, I always joke, it's like, I want equality. What do you mean you want me to pay half the rent? Or... it's the same way with the kids. We have to share the activities, whether it comes to kids or money or anything else. And it's learning. It's just learning. And I think what women are finding, and I think it's fantastic, is how powerful they really are.
Yeah.
And if we can really get rid of our neediness, which I think when we don't work, we're more needy. So I think we're getting rid of the neediest, we're feeling more powerful, and with that sense of power comes our ability to love.
Our power,
you know,
our ability
again,
to...
What was that?
What was your... You said it comes with that, the our ability to...
The more powerful we feel comes our ability to love.
Yeah.
In other words, if we don't feel powerful, it's hard to love because we're needy.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I really understand it. And what I feel, Susan, is in a way what's so great about your work, you know, and so many of your books, is they open possibilities, they open doorways. And
so
That was amazing, talking to Susan about her book, Feel the Fear, Guide to Everlasting Love. Very, very helpful book. And so I carried on chatting to Susan about her thoughts on women and children and people having children, men and women, and all kinds of people having children, and how people can match children and work and life, and does it match, and how does that work? And again, she was really enlightening and interesting. Just to say that this interview was done many, many, many years ago. Susan died in 2012. And so we're talking about, you know, men and women and heterosexual relationships. And of course, you know, so many people have children and have done in the past and will do in the future. And, you know, gay, bi, trans. So please excuse the language, which is very heteronormative. And of its time. And but equally, I think what she said is so interesting, which is about, it's really about finding out what's right for you, really taking that time to find out what's right for you. So here's a bit more of Susan. Thank you.
You know, people cite studies. Studies show that.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter that there are many studies, if you want to use studies, show that children who have been raised by caretakers grow up very, very well, as my children did.
Yeah.
They, I mean, they loved their caretakers. They loved their, it expanded their world. They loved the preschool. They loved, you know, now maybe other kids wouldn't. But see, it's so individual.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. You have to trust your gut.
And the other...
And really do what feels right for you. When I went back to school, I was a much happier mother.
Yeah.
And I know that many mothers... who are listening to this will agree that going back to work made them much happier.
Mm-hmm.
People, they just couldn't deal with children day in and day out. Now, again, some mothers love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so individual. And as I said, some fathers love it. It's just all individual. The thing is to trust who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
act
about-
on that despite what people around you are telling you. I mean, when I went back to school, I got so much criticism.
Yeah.
You know, how can you leave your children, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I knew in my heart it was right for me,
and
it was right for my kids, and it was.
Susan, is it possible for everyone to do something that they love?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where all these tools come from. See, most of us, including myself at times, live in the arena of the lower self. That's the weakest part of who we are. And all of the material that I talk about in my books, all of the tools that I give to people, are meant to move us from the weakest part of who we are to the strongest part of who we are, where we will get out there and take more risks. And trusting that whatever happens, I'll handle it. You know, my favorite affirmation, whatever happens, I'll handle it. Whatever happens, I'll handle it. And you start to lighten up and laugh at yourself, I think, when you start adding these tools to your life.
What I find...
makes you much stronger.
What
One
I
more
find...
word about kids. You know, more and more women are deciding not to have kids.
Yeah.
The percentage is going up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
So... if you feel, anybody out there feels, you know, I don't know if kids are for me, that's okay. You
can
see, you, there's so many ways to contribute to this world in a meaningful, beautiful way. Kids, you know, having kids is one way, but there's so many other ways. And as I see it, the world is so needy right now that it's just seems to me that whatever choice we make, there's so much wonderful out there for us to do.
You know what, Susan, what is so particularly inspiring about you is the way you make things accessible. So just the way you just spoke about that, wanting people to open up to taking risks, wanting them to trust themselves. What I find about you so inspiring is the way you make what might be termed in other books, what might seem... spiritual concepts could be even seen as airy-fairy by some people. You make them down-to-earth, practical, and quite dazzling, but definitely tasty, definitely available. And that is so particular to you. I'm sure there are other people who have that gift, but you have that gift in mountains. Is that just, that's part of you? Have you just got an incredible gift with translating spiritual concepts? What do you feel about that?
Well, it's interesting that when I was writing Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, the publisher said, don't put anything spiritual in this. Don't forget, we're talking over 20 years ago. Yeah. It's just celebrating its 20th year. I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
But it's over 20 years ago, and I think that it was the beginning of the spiritual movement, the self-help movement, if you will.
Yep.
And so don't put anything spiritual in it. And if you notice in Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, I had to take all the concepts that were spiritual and make them down to earth every day, which I think was a blessing. Because it, you know, how do I make this work in everyday life? Mm. And that's what I did. And I would say that that was the reason my work is so accessible. I love that process of how do you make this spiritual concept available in everyday life.
So that was Susan Jeffers. So gentle, so kind, so humble and vulnerable. Really a sweetheart, and I'm really grateful I managed to talk to her. I always think it's great to meet your heroes, you know, and she was one of mine, or is one of mine. And I think you can tell just from listening to her how kind she is, how sweet she is, thoughtful she is. And yet also she offered these parts of herself, you know, that it wouldn't have been right for her to be a stay-at-home mum. She needed to be studying, doing, creating. And maybe that's no coincidence that she produced so many books. So I hope you got something from listening to that. And I hope that you tune in for more. Thanks.